It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore how wealthy out-of-state investment firms are increasingly buying up the city's most affordable homes and how this activity is changing neighborhoods. Call in about changes in recent years to Milwaukee's housing market, what you see occurring in your community, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. John Johnson is a research fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University. John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks.
Well, can you set the scene for us and tour us through the numbers a bit, what you see? How involved are out-of-state investors in Milwaukee's housing market?
Yeah, I think it's best to start back in the 1990s and the early 2000s. In that period, homeownership in the city of Milwaukee was a consistent about 80% of the city's houses. So we're not talking about apartment buildings, just single-family homes, duplexes, triplexes, condos, the kinds of places a family might buy to live in. So 80% of those were owner-occupied consistently before the housing crisis. And then over the course of the Great Recession and the housing crisis, really lasting up through 2018, homeownership fell precipitously in the city. It fell overall by 12 percentage points, or about 16,000 houses that exited owner occupancy over that period. And, you know, Milwaukee isn't Detroit. Most of these houses were not being abandoned. Instead, they were purchased by landlords. And increasingly, they were purchased by landlords based outside of Wisconsin entirely, particularly states like California and Florida and Texas in that original wave of investment. Out-of-state ownership has grown by 479% since 2005, and it's grown by 51% since just 2017. These kinds of landlords now own more than one in six of the rental properties in the city. But really, two things have happened under the hood if we look more closely. So during that first period from about 2005 through 2018, this out-of-state investment was driven by smaller, usually individual investors. I think of these as like single-digit millionaires from places like California, as I mentioned, and these buyers would assemble small portfolios in the city, a couple properties up to, you know, maybe a dozen or a couple dozen at the very largest. And then they would contract with local property managers to run the operations of their little business here. In some cases, we know that these landlords never even visited the city at all throughout that process. But in the last 4 years, we've seen something new, which is that this handful of private equity-backed, very large, vertically integrated firms have begun building these enormous portfolios of single-family and duplex rentals in the city. Right now, we believe there are three of these companies, and they own just about 1,500 properties in the city,
wow,
which is up from just about 80 4 years ago.
Who do they get to manage these properties then?
They provide all of that in-house. So in contrast to the other companies we talked about, yeah, these are vertically integrated.
It seems, though, Milwaukee is following a national trend here where you see this activity in majority Black neighborhoods. What is the effect on certain neighborhoods and on people of color?
Yeah, in Milwaukee, this has recently been occurring exclusively in majority Black neighborhoods. Out-of-state investment over the last 4 years declined in majority white neighborhoods, and it grew by about 1,900 properties in majority Black neighborhoods. One of the effects of this is that it makes it more difficult for people who would like to be home buyers to buy houses there. And in the last 4 years, we've seen an enormous increase in home buyer activity across the city of Milwaukee, which is encouraging. That comes on the heels of this very long decline. In the last 4 years, we've seen a net of 3,000 new owner-occupiers across the city. So those are 3,000 houses switching to owner occupation from being owned usually by a landlord. And a lot of that growth has happened in neighborhoods where homes are pretty affordable. Think this, you know, sort of $90,000 to $130,000 range. And those are exactly the houses that these large firms are targeting, that they're aiming to buy up. Now, what's really interesting to me is that in the early 2010s, in that sort of first wave after the housing crisis, investors were buying houses that had been owned by owner-occupiers, you know, out of sheriff sales, foreclosures from flippers, that kind of thing. But now we're seeing these large companies buying out the small portfolios of the landlords who came before them.
Oh.
And they're increasingly doing this off of MLS. They're increasingly finding these landlords outside of the market that's accessible to would-be homebuyers. And they're often buying multiple properties at the same time, sometimes for cash. So they, in fact, aren't out-competing would-be homebuyers on price. They usually get very good deals and pay slightly less than those houses would sell for if they were listed individually on the open market. But they can offer landlords who are selling the convenience of speed, closing without contingencies, and maybe even selling all of their properties in one transaction.
Becomes very neat and tidy, if you will. I'm going to just reintroduce you for a moment. John Johnson, Research Fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Maddie in De Pere has something. Maddie, go ahead.
I have a question. I follow a wide range of news media for years, and I was aware that China had purchased numerous hotels in our country. They also had investors from China that purchased, I guess the governor of Montana and one of the Dakotas was complaining about China buying up so much farmland. And is it possible that China, investors from China, are purchasing these buildings in Milwaukee?
And Maddie, thank you. And we're going to talk about foreign investment in farmland tomorrow. But, you know, what about foreign investment in the housing market in Milwaukee, John?
It's something I've gotten questions about and I have tried to look into. It seems like foreign investors in Milwaukee, at least, are mostly focusing on commercial real estate if they do properties and less so houses, though, with a few exceptions, but I haven't seen any investors from China specifically, more from Israel, in fact.
How does it affect a neighborhood's home prices and home values when an investor swoops in and pays all cash or bids up a sale?
Indirectly. So a lot of those transactions, it's sort of complicated to say. A lot of those transactions don't qualify as like the kind of arm's length things that affect assessments directly.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they reduce the number of properties that are potentially going to be going on the market one by one. And that reduction of inventory, the literature shows, appears to drive up prices somewhat, even though those landlords are often paying a little bit less than the houses they bought would have sold for if they were listed on the individual market. But it does seem to contribute to an upward pressure in prices.
Governor Evers is proposing a whole bunch of housing and renter protections in his biennial budget. What regulations would you propose to put a check on out-of-state investors and landlords?
The very simplest place to start would be requiring landlords to register with the city, which is something that Milwaukee is currently prohibited from doing, as I understand it, by the state government, just so you can keep tabs on who's there and what they're doing. In general, no perfect solution has been found yet. Different jurisdictions are experimenting with a variety of approaches. We're very limited in what we can do in Milwaukee. But these companies are very clear when they communicate with their investors that they're concerned about the regulatory environment in any market they enter. So it's good for cities to vigorously protect tenants using whatever tools they have, and that will be discouraging to investors who are purely looking for where they can make the most profit.
So should local governments have more autonomy from the state in order to enact ordinances that could regulate the landlord-tenant relationship better?
I think so. I think cities understand their unique needs and their circumstances in this regard better than the state government can. Certainly, I think it's the case in Milwaukee that we understand our situation pretty well, and we just lack the tools to address it currently.
How does Milwaukee, though, compare to the Sun Belt or the, you know, other hot markets in the South, when you look at the turnover in Milwaukee?
Yeah, some listeners, I'm sure, will have read stories about very large private equity landlords like Invitation Homes, American Homes for Rent, Tricon, these companies that really pioneered the business model. And they all focused initially and really mostly to the present on the Sun Belt. We didn't see this kind of private equity investment in single family homes and duplexes in Milwaukee until very recently. So it's really the extension of a Sun Belt business model to the Rust Belt. And they're finding that it works well here because rents are really quite high compared to property values in cities like Milwaukee.
And we only have a few seconds left, but where does this research go from here and what are you watching for in the numbers?
It's a moving target. These companies entered not that long ago and they're scaling up very rapidly to date. But as we move into an increasingly high interest rate environment, with the threat of a recession looming, it's not clear what the future holds. Home buyer activity has fallen off precipitously. Is that going to also decrease the activity of these investors, or is that going to create a new opportunity for them to grow even faster? What happens if we have a new foreclosure crisis? Mm-hmm. These are all questions that we'll be looking at closely going forward.
John, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
John Johnson is a research fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.